Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. Okay, let me tell you, this guy goes into a talent agent's office, and he says, look, I've got this comedian that I know. He tells the most offensive jokes at the worst possible time. It's even cost him some lucrative advertising work. He's short, he's Jewish, not exactly Brad Pitt in the looks department, and when he does his bit, he uses a voice that's really high-pitched and irritating, almost like a shout. And sometimes he'll milk a punchline over and over and over and over again until, just to see what the audience will endure. So, what do you think? And he's met with complete silence until the agent says, well, what do you call an act like that? And the guy says, Gilbert Gottfried! Ladies and gentlemen, I am thrilled to have with us in the neighborhood today, Mr. Gilbert Gottfried. How are you, sir?
Well, that doesn't sound like a description of me at all.
It doesn't. Well, what did I get
wrong? I'll tell you something. I was guessing about 1,000 things before.
Oh,
my. The offensive part, the wrong moment part, the irritating voice, I don't get any of it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oddly enough, the joke also works with Myron Cohen as the punchline. I don't...
Yes, that's the way I heard it.
Oh, did you?
And I one time heard it with Sir Alec Guinness.
Did you?
But several others. I've heard it with George Plimpton. but never a Gilbert Gottfried one. That's too far-fetched.
Oh, okay, I need to work on that one. I do. But of course, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are thrilled to have with us Gilbert Gottfried in the neighborhood. I guess the first question is, how are you...
If you're thrilled to have me on, if you're thrilled to have me on your show, this must be a really poor show.
Couldn't be more poor. Couldn't be more impoverished.
Yeah, because whenever I know how badly a show's doing when they go, we're thrilled to have Gilbert Gottfried on.
I know. Although, hey, let's be fair. You've been on Howard Stern's show dozens of times, and it's not as if he's done badly. What is...
Yes. I'm the reason for his success.
Would you say that? Yeah.
Yes.
What is the connection? Why is it that you guys have worked so well together? It's because he just lets you be you?
That's usually why shows bomb. It's when they let me be me. That's the sure sign of death. When I come on to do a guest spot on a sitcom or a talk show, that means the show has like 3 episodes left.
Okay. Well, we've done 370 programs of this show before, so I was hoping to get to 375. Not going to happen, I guess.
I'm sorry, you're not going to make it.
But going back to, first of all, I have to say that since he's been on satellite radio, I'm too poor and too cheap to have satellite in my car. So I don't know, are you still a frequent guest on Stern, or was that many years ago when I was listening when he was on terrestrial?
I still will go on the show. I don't listen myself because I don't like to pay for radio either.
I don't blame you.
I just figured if it's just something I have on while I'm shaving, I'll listen to anything.
See, I can't listen to anything while I'm shaving because I still use an electric razor. I'm such a wuss.
Now, what kind of electric razor do you use? Because I find they just generally like grab my skin.
Well, I enjoy that part. I have a sadistic and masochistic...
Okay, we'll talk about that when we're off the air.
As a matter of fact, I use... This is the worst thing. As a Jew, I use a Braun razor. And I always feel bad about that. I always feel like I'm supporting some company that was putting my ancestors in ovens many, many years ago. But
What cuts go through the companies that have been and supported Hitler? I think IKEA... was one of those.
I actually have an IG Farben toaster oven. It's really horrible. I don't know why I do
it. Mayer, I think, was involved with the Nazis.
I think they were, for real. Of course,
yeah,
Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Anywho, and Mercedes, perhaps. Yeah, this is... And here I thought I could control the conversation.
Now, I seriously think, had the Third Reich continued, eventually the Jews would have seen a prophet in it. They would have taken over.
All right, see, that is the kind of thing that Gilbert Gottfried is known for throwing in there. What is it about comedians, and I do this too, where we just don't have that little filter. The joke comes into our heads, we have to say it, and devil take the hindermost. I mean, do you ever put a filter on, or you can't?
Let's see. I wouldn't know about that, because I'm very careful with what I say. It has to be tasteful, and it has to be appropriate.
Well, looking back, do you really, when you made that little tweet comment, that really an offensive tweet comment about the Japanese, and it cost you the Aflac Duck contract, I mean, would you change anything, or do you just look back at Aflac and go, what idiots, you know, didn't they know what I do for a living?
That's pretty much it. It's not like anybody is going to go like, you know what? When it struck me as, it's kind of like that scene in Casablanca.
Yeah.
Claude Rains goes, I'm shocked to find gambling. And it's like, that's what it is. And it's like, and then the news media totally went nuts with it. It was like, it was like they were reporting on it, like, I became the biggest story than the actual tsunami.
In a way, for a day or two, you did.
Yeah, it's like Gilbert Gottfried says jokes about the tsunami filled on 11. And they act, I love how the newscasters act it out, too. It's like, and this offensive comment, because they all said offensive comments and remarks. Nobody ever said jokes. Because if you say jokes, then it's like, yeah, jokes, okay.
Well, no, people can still be offended by jokes under the context of jokes. I mean, everybody said you told a joke at the Hefner roast that people, I guess, weren't ready for. They knew it was a joke. It wasn't just a political comment, but still, people were like, too soon, you know.
Oh, yeah, that was at the You Have No Roast.
Right.
It was like just a few days after the September 11th attack.
Which I remember fondly, yeah.
Which, you remember that?
Fondly, yes.
Yes.
Downtown New York was just too crowded at that point. You know, I thought, you can't move around, you can't drive, there's no good parking. If we had 3,000 fewer people down here, it would be a much better town.
So basically, you favored it because it created more parking space.
Absolutely, don't you? I'm sorry, but yeah, continue, please.
Yes, because I was going to get very offended in a second. But I was upstage there, and I said, I have to leave early tonight. I have to fly to L.A. I couldn't get a direct flight. We have to make a stop at the Empire State Building.
Right.
And you could hear chairs screech back and people booing and hissing and mumbling amongst themselves. And one guy yelled, too soon, which I thought meant I didn't take a long enough pause between the setup and the punchline. And I thought I should have said, 1, 2, 3, Empire State Building, and it would have worked better.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I'm up there at the podium, and after like losing an audience as much as I possibly could have, and if you said like 200 years had passed while I was standing there, I would have believed it. That's what it felt like. And then afterwards, I went into the aristocrats joke, where it's all about incest and bestiality. And that's how I won the audience.
Well, look, you had no intention.
Yeah, terrorism we're offended by, but bestiality, you know, having sex with family members and with the pet dog, that's fine with us.
Well, it's more familiar, I think, to most of us. It's been part of our childhood experience, actually. But
yeah, it's like, talk about what you know.
Well, so you had no intention, though. That wasn't going to be part of your act. You just reached for it.
No.
Yeah.
No, I just went. I figured at that moment, what the hell? It's not like I can lose him anymore. So why don't I just go to the very bottom level of hell at this point?
Well, wait. Do you recall what the rest of your bit would have been had you not bombed with one joke and then gone into the aristocrats? Do you remember, were they all just Hefner jokes and making fun of the other participants, as a roast usually would be?
Yeah, I think so. I think just a bunch of regular dirty jokes and just making fun of
Hugh Hefner's age.
Yeah, I was doing, you know, these jokes beforehand, saying that Hefner can still make a woman scream in bed. She screams, "Is he breathing?"
Okay, yeah. Normal joke.
Oh, that's kind of jokes.
Do you write all of your own material? I imagine you must, and you do.
Yes. If it's, I always say, if it's anything funny, I wrote it. And then if it's not, someone else did it. When I'm on stage, I write all my own material.
Right. Well, of course, you don't do it when you're voiceovering for cartoons or
obviously. Oh, no, yeah, no. But that's, the voiceovers are less and less now.
Well, no. That's
I'm not great. As busy with voiceovers as I once was.
They don't want you on children's programming anymore. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Well, let me, you know, you've gone through certain phases in your career where, you know, at first you were a comedian's comedian, you know, you were also a very, very young comedian, starting young, and now, basically, you're known for being, like, a dirty joke teller, and then telling older dirty jokes that you didn't write. Do you feel pigeonholed by that? That sometimes it's like, no, there's more to me than telling the jokes that Catskill comedians were doing in the midnight shows 50 years ago?
What, you mean that I'm known now as the White Red Fox?
In a manner of speaking, yeah. It's especially weird when you use the N-word, but yeah, other than that.
Yes, that's always a problem. And I should be pushing my new show, Gottfried and Son, where I go, "You big dummy." Hey, Ernesto! Oh, Elizabeth, they're coming to get me. It's the big one.
Well, Red Fox was great, but no, seriously, do you...
See, I should do a one-man show as Red Fox. Come here. Come in here.
Just the thought of it. I'm sorry to break up there, but and one of the things I'm sorry. Yes.
It takes time out though from my other one man show is Nipsey Russell.
What is it about Nipsey Russell? You always go to him as a. As a punchline, and it's hysterical. And why is Nipsey? Is it the name? Is it the fact that he's physically opposite from you in a way? Or
I remember one time meeting Nipsey Russell.
Yeah.
and he said, "Hey, Gilbert, how are you?" And I said, "My career is over." And he said to me, "Well, get online."
Now, let me ask, do you have a couple more minutes, Gilbert, before I have to let you?
A couple more, because I'm on my way to the welfare office.
I understand. I'll be there online ahead of you, yeah. But One bit I remember, and I've only seen you do this live, I think, but when we went to see you a few years back in New York, it might have been Caroline's or a place like that, you did a bit about Who's On First, where you basically had all these different people that you were impersonating, folks like Bela Lugosi and other inappropriate people doing the Who's On First routine. And I just recall you doing this for about half an hour. It would not stop. You know, the audience would go dead, and then we'd start getting hysterical. Or I was hysterical, you know. I would say, okay, it's enough. Stop. You know, it's fine. You milk this way. And then I would start laughing hysterically again. Was that just one of those one-night things, or do you do this often? Or when you hate the audience, you subject them to it?
Yeah, every now and then when I really want to punish it, I'll do something like that. It's like, and the thing is, I'll start throwing in these actors like, you know, John MacGyver and Kenneth McCarthy, like that.
And I was with other people, and they were just kind of looking at me, like, you know, and looking at their watches, and I was on the floor, just rolling. Sometimes you do the jokes for those three people who are rolling on the floor. You have to know that. You know, everybody else doesn't matter. But speaking of disaster stories, one of the things...
That should be the title of my biography.
Disasters.
Speaking of disaster stories.
Oh, well, I should mention that Gilbert does have a book out called Rubber Balls and Liquor. You know, you can look over the title until you get the pun.
And I also have a Dirty Jokes DVD. Both you can get on GilbertGottfried.com.
Gilbert Gottfried with two T's. F-R-I-E-D.
Oh, and I'll be at Caroline's on the 22nd and 23rd. Caroline's in New York.
Yes, where I saw Gilbert those many years ago. And he hasn't moved up the ladder yet. He's still playing the same club. So there you go.
Yes, and I haven't written a new joke since then. So it doesn't matter.
Now,
although I am working on a joke about Dragnet.
Does it involve Harry Morgan by any chance?
Oh, yeah, that makes it too contemporary.
Too soon.
I'll have to go back to my joke on wagon train.
Or a good Oxbow incident joke, you know.
Oh, yes.
Now, speaking of jokes and things that didn't land, or you're not getting your opportunity to be who you are. I had forgotten about this because I just read the Sarah Silverman autobiography recently, and she had a similar experience on Saturday Night Live that you did. It didn't happen. Was that like up until Aflac? Was that the greatest disappointment for you when SNL was not Mecca?
I always say like Aflac fired. I mean, Saturday Night Live fired me, and I always felt like it proved that Saturday Night Live. What foresight they had with firing Gilbert Gottfried. Like, they were ahead of the game. You know, after a while, it just became everyone else just sort of stole the idea of let's fire Gilbert Gottfried. Saturday Night was the original. They made the breakthrough.
Well, Lauren is you know, a genius like that. He'll find really talented people and say, I'll give them a shot, but not their real shot, and then I'll fire them. And that's a rare talent.
I wasn't there with Lorne Michaels. I was there, even Lorne Michaels had been gone at that point.
Oh, this was the Dumanian years?
Oh, yes. And it was like, how dare you continue Saturday Night Live without the original cast? And it's like now, the original cast changes in between commercial breaks.
It's
a whole new cast. You don't recognize anybody. And now if somebody's on the show for longer than two seasons, you go, oh my God, they're really losers. They're still on Saturday Night Live. But back then, that was, how dare anyone do that?
Wow. Well, at least... How did you bounce back? I mean, was there a moment after the SNL thing where it was also like Billy Crystal's SNL experience, where you're on the Long Island Railroad train going home and you just don't know what to do with yourself? Or by then, were you so busy as a stand-up comic, you brushed it off your shoulder and say, I'm going on, you know, a big deal?
I'm just basically stupid that way.
By the way, we're just a couple more minutes with Gilbert Gottfried. I thank you so much for giving us this little extra time, because I'm having the most wonderful time. I wanted to mention that on this particular episode of Dave's Gone By, we have another guest who has written a book about his years in the household of Groucho Marx. Not during the great Groucho glory years, but when Groucho was kind of going way, way, way downhill.
Huh? That's when Groucho would pop up on the Dick Cavett show and go, "I remember working with Smedley Johnson, and he was a great writer."
Exactly. And it was totally serendipitous, because I didn't know that I would have this other person on as a guest. I didn't get the press release about his book until after I booked Gilbert here. And it reminded me that one of the things that always wrecks me when I hear Gilbert or when you were on Howard Stern is old Groucho. How did you... What made... Because everybody does Groucho Marx impersonations. What made you choose old senile Groucho as the thing to impersonate?
That became more fascinating. I mean, I love the Marx Brothers movies, but when I'd see him there with, like, wearing a beret and a turtleneck sweater and a jacket, and so did I, it became fascinating. It was, as a kid, I would watch it, and I was hypnotized. And as a kid, I already would start imitating him as the old Groucho. I remember working with, he was S.J. Pyle. He used to work with a typewriter. And with typewriter, you'd hit the keys off, and it would make letters, and the letters would form into words, and then the words would eventually become sentences. And that's what's the old writing in those days, that you put words on a piece of paper, and this was it. And then people would sometimes read these words that were on a piece of paper. Fascinating.
Did you ever get any flack for doing that? Or were people like, "Oh, it's not too soon, Groucho's old and dead"?
Yes. Yeah, sometimes I get angry letters from Gummo's family.
Can I ask?
Sometimes the Margaret Dumont estate threatens to sue.
Do you remember the very, very, very first time you realized you were funny?
I still haven't. Certainly the audience hasn't.
But actually, it is a fair question. Like, do you remember as a kid, like, your parents laughing at certain things and telling, "Oh, Gilbert, that's inappropriate" at other times? Or were they totally supportive no matter what jokes you told?
Well, my parents only got mad at me once, and that was when I was 2 years old, and I was already doing tsunami jokes. I was so ahead of my time. People don't realize what a visionary I am.
You were actually doing 9/11 jokes as well, which
yes.
was really appreciated. So who makes you laugh? Who do you look to and respect and admire for laughter?
I don't. It's harder and harder to laugh at anybody when you're a comedian. I mean, like, I just at very best I'll like look and go, "Yeah, all right, that's clever." And it's like, I'll laugh if somebody falls down a flight of stairs. That makes me laugh.
Yeah, I was thinking you'd say something like Angela Merkel or something like that. So, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, Gilbert Gottfried, who's going to be at is it Caroline's on December 22nd and 23rd?
Caroline's on the 22nd and 23rd.
He's also a husband and father. How do you have a life where you're, I guess, mostly on the road and touring and doing TV on the coast and stuff, and be a proper family man?
Well, I can answer that in two words. The aristocrat.
You know, Dara seems like a your wife Dara, who also helps, I guess, manage your stuff. She seems like a very nice woman, but at the same time, I can imagine her doing about half the things that are mentioned in it. Oh, too close to. Oh no, you're laughing. I thought, oh, maybe if I make a joke about his wife, that'll be too much for Gilbert. But no, and the kids are involved too. Okay, I won't go there.
Yes.
Well, it has been an absolute joy and delight, believe it or not, talking with Gilbert. I guess the other thing is, besides the stand-up stuff and the book Rubber Balls and Liquor and the DVD of Dirty Jokes that's been out for a while but I guess is still available on your website, gilbertgottfried.com, what are your other projects in the works?
Well, I did two episodes, a scene each, in Law and Order.
Ooh.
SVU. And let's see, I still have my Twitter account, believe it or not.
Good.
And that's at Real Gilbert.
So the at symbol @RealGilbert to get. How often do you tweet?
I beg your pardon.
I think there's a lie in there. Yeah.
I don't know if that's any concern of yours.
Do you eat shredded tweet for breakfast? No, that's...
Yes.
Oh, God, that's terrible. Well, would you like to leave us with any magnificent words of wisdom or just plain old awful words, Gilbert, before we let you escape from the neighborhood?
Okay, what book... is this the same book this guy wrote before on Groucho?
Yes, it's a reprint. I should have mentioned that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's My Years Inside Groucho's House, Raised Eyebrows is the name of the book.
Yes.
Have you read it?
Okay. So, no, because why give credit to anyone else? Anyway, yes, if I can leave you with any words, send money.
Send money? Yeah, well, okay.
Yes.
Great, you just stole my tagline. Damn it, I'm going to think of something else. And what am I going to have to... Now I have to change mine to something like, I don't know, kill Puerto Ricans. I don't know. What the
Now you just want to go with the popular opinion.
Oh, nothing beats being insulted by Gilbert Gottfried. That's more... Well, except Susie Essman once called me a dirty hook-nosed Jew, I think. Honest to God. That was good, too.
Is there any other kind?
Gilbert, it has been just wonderful. I don't know if it's been wonderful for my audience, but it's certainly been wonderful for me to have you in the neighborhood. I wish you much, much success. I invite you back anytime on the show, of course, not that you ever would, but at least for this one time, it's really been a blessing to have you here. Thank you so much, man.
Oh, thank you.